Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in, and welcome to the fourth episode of Tech Talks, the student-led podcast that gives an inside look into the students, faculty, events, and much, much more involving the Northeast Tech community. I'm your host, Tyler Kick, and today I'm joined by a very special guest who is actually our very first IT member on the podcast, and that honor is placed upon your favorite IT specialist, Caleb Gidcombe. Caleb, how are you today?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing really, really well. This is exciting. Very first faculty member. You know, I've always wanted to reach out to someone, and I knew you had to be the perfect first fit because you're always kind of like in the shadows, you know? I don't know how involved you are with other classes, but in our class, you're pretty much in like once a week.
Yeah.
You know, coach keeps you pretty busy here, so.
You guys are definitely the most heavily utilized of the IT specialists.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would hope so, considering we're the computer class. It'd be kind of weird if like one of the trades was.
I never get called from you guys.
Yeah. Okay, so I introduced you as the IT specialist, but really, like, what are you? What do you do around the campus? What do you like outside of the campus? Just, like, you know, give us a little look into you.
Yeah, sure. So I guess a little bit of background about me. I'm kind of a nerd through and through. So what I do at work is a lot of the stuff I do at home. I've been working in IT for 10 years now. Started off in manufacturing, actually. So I did a lot of IT work for a aluminum rolling mill. And then I met my wife, and she lived out here, and we were closer to family for her and closer to family for me. So I moved out here to Oklahoma and got on here at Northeast Tech. And now I do daily different things. This particular job role is kind of multi-layered. It's not just answering the phone when somebody calls for help. So I handle all of our computer purchasing, all of our networking on the campus, bring the Wi-Fi to everybody, manage our servers, manage our Google Workspace. And we do that as a team. There's an IT specialist at every campus. We have a network administrator and then a director of IT. So,
okay. So you guys all kind of work together amongst the campuses?
Yep. We try to do everything kind of the same across all four campuses. Everybody has their own unique thing about their campus, but as far as the IT department is concerned, we try to keep everything pretty consistent.
Okay. And you said you worked at a manufacturing plant. Was that pretty much just like you'd answer the phone if anybody called?
Yeah, so I had two roles there when I worked at the manufacturing. So I started in the help desk, so I'd answer calls, elevate tickets to a higher level, and then I moved up from there to network analyst. So we installed routers and switches, managed the Wi-Fi network, created VPN tunnels with our partner companies, a whole bunch of other stuff.
All right, awesome. Working with Northeast Tech, is it like different than what you used to do, or is it kind of the same?
Pretty different. It's a lot more of a laid-back environment. In manufacturing, you're running 24/7, and you always, everything has to be up all the time because you're running all the time. Mm-hmm. So you get calls sometimes at 2 or 3 in the morning to come in and fix an issue. Here it's a lot different. Once I leave it at 4 o'clock, I'm done until 7:30 the next morning.
So. Awesome. Okay. That must be very nice for you.
It's very nice.
Yeah. And you talked about having a wife, so being able to just go home and relax and not have to worry about
like, getting a call. She appreciates it too.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So with involving like Northeast Tech itself, just to kind of stay on the topic, what's a typical day of work look like for you here?
Sure. So on my daily task are really just to be available for everybody. The IT specialists are considered support staff when you look at it from the HR perspective. So we're here to support you guys, the students and the staff, wherever we can. So to be available for everybody here to answer a call or email. And then kind of on the background, we're constantly monitoring our systems, making sure our applications are up to date. Cybersecurity is a pretty big topic, and it has been for a few years now. So we're constantly on top of that, trying to make sure that our applications are patched from vulnerabilities, that we don't have any credentials leaked out anywhere. Nobody's clicking on phishing emails. So we're training our staff and students when they come in to watch out for those things.
That's awesome. Does that sort of stuff happen often?
It typically, when you hear about a big breach, it's because somebody clicked on something in an email that they weren't supposed to.
Interesting.
Most of the time.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So let's kind of like go back a little bit now.
Sure.
Because that was your typical day of work, and you know, it's kind of standard, you know, it's like, it sounds awesome, sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But what about, so you said you've worked in IT for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Now What's your background in that? How'd you like get into the field? What inspired you to?
Yeah. So, I've kind of always been interested in computers. Did some gaming when I was younger, built a couple PCs. My dad is in automation technology. So I've always kind of been around technology. For a minute there in high school, I thought I was going to do nursing. I like to help people and take care of people, but decided that wasn't for me and to stick with what I already knew and kind of what I was naturally inclined to. So I went to the IT field and I've loved it every day. I'm still liking it every day that I'm here. So
awesome. Yeah. Nursing. I wouldn't have expected that from you.
Yeah. I think it's more of the servant side of things. I like, you know, again, I like to be helpful to people. And I thought that I like the medical field. I kind of like some of the stuff that went on in the medical field. But I didn't like all the paperwork you had to do to do for nursing. There's a lot more than you think when you're going and actually participating in that field.
Okay.
So yeah, I just made a change and I feel like I'm still kind of fulfilling that being helpful to other people in my role now as IT support. So.
Yeah, and you definitely are. Our class would not survive if you aren't the glue holding everything together.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Is it cool working at a tech campus then and like seeing all the nursing students?
It is. It's very different than what you imagine if you have never worked in education. And I haven't, you know, I went from manufacturing to education. It's definitely, you get your perspective broadened a little bit, at what all goes on. If I'm just looking at it from the outside in, it's just a school where kids are learning things. But then when you get in, there's very specific paths of education, especially in a career tech facility. So
yeah, okay. So with IT, you've worked in it for 10 years and I'm guessing you've seen it expand like crazy because mm-hmm. computers within the past 10 years, 20 years, especially 20 years have like expanded just so much from just simple at-home PCs to creating large networks that connect people around the globe.
Sure.
Looking forward, do you see it expanding more from your perspective?
Yeah, and when you say expand, a lot of times in the IT realm, that means you get smaller. So when you expand something, you know, the first computers took up a whole room, you know, 400 square foot room it would take up to just do simple calculations. And now that all happens on my wristwatch, you know, all those calculations can happen. There's something interesting called Moore's Law. It talks about how semiconductors or processors shrink every 2 years by almost two times the amount, sometimes more than that. So the more it expands, the smaller it gets and the more user-friendly it gets too. So what would have, you know, pulling up your podcast might have taken something, some DOS commands or, you know, something like that is now click of buttons, you know. So
yeah.
I definitely think it's expanding and more people are becoming more literate with technology. That's just as ages go on, you know, kids grow up with an iPad or something in their lap. So I think it's going to expand a little bit further and people's knowledge is going to broaden a lot more.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like even now, I've seen kids with iPads and they're like, just like watching them play games, it's like kind of crazy how they know how to click. Like,
yeah, all like 2-year-olds know what they're doing. They're just scrolling like somebody that's 30, 40 years old.
Exactly. And I'm like, man, you are going to grow up and be such a smart kid just because you already know how to do all these things
right now.
It's like, especially they're growing up with technology expanding so much, they're going to be part of all of it.
Yeah.
It's cool witnessing the next generation get so involved in these things.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Hold on, let me pull up next question here. What about AI?
AI.
What do you think about it?
It's pretty neat. It's a useful tool. Like any new technology, sometimes as a society as a whole, we jump into things pretty quickly without considering the risk and the benefits of those technologies. I use AI not every day, but probably once or twice a week to, you know, fill out a letter or an email, type up an email that sounds professional and different things like that. It has a lot, especially with generative AI coming on where you can have a more natural conversation. I can ask it a question like I'm asking you and it, you know, performs whatever task I've requested of it. I think it's going to be very useful. People do need to realize the risk of using AI too. There's a lot of plagiarism, a lot of hallucinating, as they call it. So sometimes AI pulls in so much information when you ask it a question, it comes up with something that is non-factual or fictional. So you just got to be careful. Like any new technology, there's pros and cons to both of them, but overall pretty pro for AI.
Hallucinating is such an interesting word.
Yep.
I've never heard that being used before.
Yep.
That is okay. And that's a cool perspective too. You know, I've never really thought about that with AI, because I always know it can like search the internet and it pulls so much, but I never like thought it could pull so much to the point where it like collapses in on itself.
Yep. And makes up information just like a person does.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is kind of scary. And I'm just going to mention this. We don't really have to talk about this, but I feel like there might be some sentience in that, in a way. You know, there's so much that it's just a consciousness or something. It's just like a person,
right,
making up things.
Yep.
Which is kind of scary, but I guess looking at the technical side of it, it's not exactly what's happening. So
right.
Yeah. So do you see AI as like a challenge though when it comes to IT work?
Yes and no. The biggest challenge for us, for you guys, in the education specifically, is utilizing it in a way where it's beneficial to you guys and not a detriment. Right. So you can use AI to answer all the questions on a quiz or a test or something like that. And that's not beneficial to you guys because you're not learning what you're trying to learn. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it could be very helpful in writing papers and assisting you. And that's the big difference, is the AI assisting you or doing all the work for you. So a challenge for us is just weeding out what that is for the education world, Northeast Tech specifically. Is this AI model beneficial to us and the students, or is it hindering, you know, education and learning?
Has Northeast Tech like done any like training things with AI that you know of?
We haven't done any training. We have went through some process of picking out approved lists of AI. Some of the top names are in there: ChatGPT, Gemini. Some of those we've approved. So we've done some research into it, and our staff and students use it pretty regularly, but we haven't had any generative stuff done with it.
Okay. Yeah, AI is just, it's just so cool to me, just to kind of talk about it a little bit more. It's just, it's been around forever, but it also feels like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because I've been using AI for many years now on like some of my own personal projects. Like I make music, that's my hobby, and like AI is pretty big when it comes to like filtering things, because it'll like auto take out bad frequencies and stuff. And so, you know, I've never really thought about that being AI until AI blew up.
Right.
And then it's like, man, you know, like, should I be totally against this or should I be for it? Because it's been with me.
Yeah.
So it's just those types of questions.
And it's really been rebranded. AI is kind of like the flashy name for it. But before that, it was called machine learning.
Mm, okay.
So it's been used a lot longer than people realize, but they finally have put it into a context that an end user can use it and use it efficiently.
Okay.
Whereas before, machine learning would have happened in the background. Like you're saying, it's going in and doing some kind of process for you, removing things. Probably need to run it on this podcast because I'm doing a lot of ums and ands and all that stuff. But that's something that was originally, you know, the name for it was machine learning. So
okay, interesting. Yeah, and with using AI on the podcast, I actually do use it for my mixing. There's a tool I use that like helps it sound better and more crispy and stuff.
Yeah,
and
more balanced.
Like, it's all stuff I know how to do myself, and sometimes I do still go in and change some things.
Sure.
It gets the job done.
Yeah. And that's the important thing, right? You know what you're doing versus just having it do it all for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
At some point, it'd be like a dystopian movie, you know, where the AI does everything. We don't know how to do anything. Like Wall-E, we're running in floating chairs and the computer's making us food and taking us where we need to go. So
exactly.
That's the main difference, to be able to understand and to put it into practice. And then use AI as the tool to assist you in those things versus having it do everything for you.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're having AI help us now, but maybe in the future we'll be helping it. So
right.
Who knows?
Yep. Constantly changing.
Constantly changing. Speaking of constantly changing things, more specifically on challenges, we're off the topic of AI. It doesn't have to be about AI, but what are some of the challenges facing IT today?
Probably the biggest one is threat actors, cybersecurity. You know, like I said, it's changing every day. Technology is changing every day, and so are they. People are advancing. Some people just don't see anything wrong with taking people's information or stealing things from people. So that one is constantly changing, and we're having to stay on top of it. There's new stuff every week that we're having to mitigate or change or update because somebody has exploited Google Chrome or Adobe Acrobat or something like that.
Okay.
Somebody's found some kind of... So that's probably our biggest challenge on the regular.
And is that like specifically towards our school or just in general, but you like make sure school is safe?
In general, but we try to make sure the school is safe. Because we're not just protecting our employees. We got to protect you guys too. You guys have email accounts through us and use Google and Adobe software, and those all have vulnerabilities that we have to patch on the regular. So not just protecting your work stuff or your school stuff, but that bleeds over into your personal life too. A lot of times we have to put in date of births and addresses and phone numbers, and we're trying to protect that stuff from being stolen.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure I speak for everyone when I say this, but I really appreciate the work you're doing because, sure. I mean, growing up, you know, I've been around on the internet. You know, I've done a thing or two, and I understand how scary data breaches can be. Like, just like that, you know, your information's out there. Someone's using it. Someone's in your accounts and stuff. But you're doing your best to keep us safe. So I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you.
You know, thank you on here. And I'm sure everyone listening agrees as well. Yep. Hey, you're doing an amazing job.
Appreciate it.
I want to remain on the topic of challenges, though. So outside of IT, is there any challenges that you specifically have faced either in your IT career or just like in general, just like coming to where you are today? Or
probably the biggest challenge,
if you need
probably
a second.
Yeah, it's probably bias on IT. A lot of times when you go to hire an IT person, there's like a default set of things that you have to fill out. Like you need 5 years experience, you know, need to know how to do this, this, and this. That's probably one of the biggest challenges in IT in general and for myself as well. When you apply for these positions, it's just hard to get into IT initially. But once you're in, you know, that you got the experience. But a lot of times people may need to take a step back and say, oh, well, they might not know this information now, but they can learn this information as they work with us.
And I feel like that happens a lot within the job spectrum, because that's what I've been dealing with. That's what I've seen a lot of other people dealing with, is that a lot of entry-level positions these days, they're asking for like 10 years of experience.
Yep.
It's like, you're paying me $17 an hour or whatever to do like all of this work, but no, I need to have worked for 10 years and stuff. Yep. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like the job market now is kind of saturated to the point where we're always looking for the best of the best candidate, because there's just so much on the market. We're not giving the newer people a chance.
Yep.
So I understand you with that, because that's been harming a lot of people.
Yep. So. And it ties back into AI too, because a lot of HR departments are implementing AI filtering for their applications and resumes. So if you don't meet the qualifications, the AI kicks you out.
So human,
of your job pool.
A human doesn't even look at it.
Right.
Oh my God.
So that's one of those things, that's one of those cons of AI, is you may be missing your best candidate because they're missing 1 year of experience, or they're missing one particular skill set. That person might be the perfect fit for your job, but you'd never know because AI is filtering it out for you.
I didn't even know that they've been using AI for that. That is scary.
It is pretty scary.
Why can't they just get a human? Okay, you know, I'm not even gonna...
That's a deep subject.
I'm not even gonna think about that. Oh my God. Wow. Okay. I don't even know where to go at this point. That's scary. Okay. I don't know. Maybe that's something. It's good that we're talking about this stuff. Maybe there's a random HR person who's going to stumble upon this podcast and be like, oh,
maybe I should think about that.
Maybe I should think about that.
Or at least have a human review all the rejected AI candidates.
That would be good. Yeah. That would open up another job too. But
right.
I don't know. What if they get an AI to find the person to go against
to go, yeah.
The AI?
they'd never be find anybody.
Exactly. Okay. So we're kind of nearing the end of the episode here. I'm gonna ask you this question.
Sure.
But I feel like if there's a listener who has listened this far, they're probably, you know, interested in what you have to say. They're probably interested in IT. Do you have any advice for people? And this might kind of correlate back to our previous discussion too about, you know, the hardships of getting into the field. Do you have any advice for people who might want to pursue IT or computer science or anything?
Yeah. A couple pieces. Anything you want to learn is out on the internet. You can go on YouTube. You can do a Google search for any of information. Get as many certificates as you can under your belt that relate to IT and the IT field. And then once you get in there, learn as much as you can. Don't be afraid to start an entry-level position. If you're going to be a developer and all they have is a help desk position open, but they're willing to give you that job, start in the help desk. You can learn a lot. And that those skills will translate over into that new job role, and you might have the benefit of moving into that job role at some point in the future. So just be willing and open to more than one specific field and learn as much as you can when you have free time.
I feel like that kind of correlates to any job as well, you know? Start small, mop the floor before you're the producer, you know? Stuff like that. Okay, well, is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything you want to add before we end up here?
I don't think so. Just watch your emails. All right. Click on anything suspicious.
Yep, because that makes your job
worse. Yep, always notify your IT department.
Exactly. Okay, well, thank you so much, Caleb, for joining me today.
Yes, sir.
Much, much appreciated. And to all you listeners, that is the end of this episode of Tech Talks. If you would like to be a guest in the future, feel free to send me an email, nt.techtalks@gmail.com. Don't send me any weird links, though, or else Caleb will have to work on that, and I don't want to put him in that position. So, yeah, but if you want to be a future guest, either email me there, or you can find me 9:30. I'm pretty much in the admin building because that's my break time. Feel free to come and ask me a question. I'm down for anybody to be a guest. This podcast is open for everybody if they have a story they want to share or if they just want to talk about their life. I'm totally okay with that. But anyways, thank you so much, listeners. Please take care of yourselves online and offline, and I will see you guys in the next episode. Goodbye.